Hello and welcome to the Patriot Game. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Pierce Egan over in Edinburgh. How's it going, my man? How you keeping?
Not bad. I'm down to 65 beats per minute, so I think just a bit more back to life after that. It was stressful, wasn't it?
Fuck it. Honestly, even if we're winning four, if we were winning that game 4-0 with 15 minutes ago, I'd still be sitting on my man's sofa touching wood, like praying. I don't know why I do. It's like it's going to change the fucking outcome of the game, but like, shit, wood. What the fuck? That's such a touch wood. Like, fuck me. And then when there's no wood, you're touching your head. You're like, fuck. Some cunt's making a fucker out of me. But no, mate. Honestly, when their goal went in to make it 2-1, it was just like, oh, Jesus, no, please. And I was 2 minutes behind on the Firestick CSC. So I seen you texting saying, oh, no, and was like, oh, Jesus, please. So absolutely delighted now, as you can imagine. But some amount of stress, Pierce, isn't it?
I was 2 minutes behind as well. So I must have been about 10 seconds ahead of you, but I was sitting there. And I did it, like, I knew WhatsApp, I knew everything, because I would personally blame the person who texted me. Like, never mind Celtic, it'd be their fault. No, it was just, I couldn't watch maybe the first 5-10 minutes, second half, because when those balls were flying to the box from the corner, I was thinking, just don't do this to me. Like, just please, don't. And then you start, like, in your head, you're like, oh, you know, maybe, like, you know, 1 point clear is not that bad. You start accepting, like, oh, you know, like, we've got the goal difference, we've got the point, but it was just, it's just nothing enjoyable about it at the moment, is it? It's just trying to creep it over the line.
Oh, mate, God love my dad as well, because he can't see the way I can sit there and watch that. Like, even though it's like 2 minutes behind, I can do that no problem. But I'm one of them ones where it's like, do not dare tell me the fucking score. Do not spoil it for me. Like, please. So when you text and I say, oh no, I looked at his face and I just wait. Cheek white, like trembling, like don't be. He's like, is everything all right? Yeah, I can tell me. And God love him, he was like, he couldn't fend the nerve to turn around and say that Dundee is scored. But all in all, mate, I wouldn't say that it was the best performance of the season. I don't think there's many games that have actually stood out this season, the best performance, but you know, ultimately, we were there to get the 3 points, and we did that. Start going back to the starting lineup, were you surprised to see James Forrest starting?
No, we texted beforehand. I mean, it was a bit like weird feeling to say, but please hope that Forrest is playing, because he just seems to be the only one that's offering anything that has any kind of composure about him. Like last week when he came on against Aberdeen, he made a contribution that was hilarious, that he came on after, what, maybe 60 minutes, and then he came back off an extra time.
even today, like you say, we were talking about Forrest starting. With 5 games to go in the season, you're looking at players like James Forrest. Like, don't get me wrong, mate. I think the fact that we're still playing James Forrest in 2024 tells you everything about our transfer window this season. But with that being said, like, I mean, his contribution has been absolutely fantastic in the last 2 games. Today, mate, I mean, if you can imagine as well, like, when was the last time he played over an hour of football? That's his first start from November, right? Yeah. So, I mean, to go out there and score 2 goals, fair play, absolutely fair play. But I think Brendan Rodgers said it a few weeks back. He says that he's our best winger right now. So you could sort of, you weren't really surprised to see him factor him in there for the last couple of games. With that being said, it's like, I wouldn't say he's our best winger, but he definitely brings something different, and he's definitely got that wealth of, you know, experience there as well, which is obviously it's worth his winning goal this season, right?
Yeah, like, is he only something like 31? But you just, like, because his legs appear to have gone so much, you presume he's 35, 36, but I think he's only like 31. He was one of the only bright sparks in a fairly drab game. I actually thought we started first 5-10 minutes. I thought, oh, we look up for this today. And then the keeper was making the saves, and I was thinking, oh, this better not be one of those games. And actually, it wasn't one of those games at all. It was diabolical. There was not a lot.
Like, in terms of individual performances, I mean, I've seen people as well, when the team was announced that when Scales was going to be starting, a lot of people were unhappy about that. I don't think Scales today wasn't overly bad. I think he was probably one of his better performances in recent weeks. Like I say, it was 1 a.m. I think we talked about it before as well, where it's like the reminiscent of the Rangers game under Ange, his first season, right, where it was 2-1.
Yeah.
And, you know, you feel like you're under pressure because fucking we're absolute head cases and we'll get carried away with these football matches. But they didn't really trouble us as such. I mean, their goal was a complete freak, wasn't it? I felt like a wee bit of a dick because it was begging for Ada to come on. And he goes and gets himself a lovely OG.
He did make a difference when he came on. The subs had to be made in the second half because we just couldn't get on the ball at all. And then within, what, 2 or 3 minutes of him coming on, we got a goal. First half, there wasn't really anything. Forrest, the Coon had a couple of chances, well, you know, shots at goal. McGregor was horrendous. Really bad in that game. And you wouldn't even know Matt O'Reilly was playing. I thought he was anonymous out on that pitch today. It did change a bit when Awada came on and Adam Eder came on. He could get up the pitch. He got a couple of turns and the ball got down the wing. It was just... Look, you just want to... Somehow we can get through these next two games. That's all I can think about because there's nothing the performance... I don't know... much as we like Brendan and all that, I'm getting a bit sick of watching him just clapping and writing stuff in these notepads because, like, what's he writing in that?
I think the substitutions were instantaneous. I think as soon as Awada come on, we just shored it up right in midfield. We looked a lot more solid. McGregor was just off it for me today. It was like, these are the type of games at this stage of the season. These are players that you're relying on, right? You talk about experience. You talk about, you know, players who've been there before and tasted it before. And today, he just looked a wee bit unfit or just not up to speed with the tempo of play. He just, I don't know, I think it was one of his worst performances of the season. Just a few silly fouls in dangerous areas and just stuff that's usually, you know, it's a wee bit out of character for him. But, you know, you could probably look at it as well and go to yourself, right, he's only back from injury and he's factoring back into the squad and it's going to take time. But, I mean, at this stage of the season, it's about performance, isn't it? It's about getting in there and getting up to speed with the speed right away and making your mark as the captain of the team. So, but Awada, I think Rodgers got his substitutions bang on today. I thought that Awada really come in and solidify midfield because they were getting a lot of... I mean, Dundee in the second half, the smell of blood. They were playing a sort of aggressive press, which surprised me a wee bit. Obviously, you know, they're actually refreshing. Appears to see that, you know, teams like Dundee, who are obviously doing well, you know, like we've talked about this before. It's a hard place to go. Your man, Tony Dougherty, hasn't playing, you know, I wouldn't say great football, but, I mean, they're solid. They're a hard team to break down.
Yeah, no, they're a decent enough team. And I suppose they're only 2 points away from St. Mirren. So they got in the winter, they would have went into fifth place. So they've got a big game because they're playing each other next week. So, I mean, I'm going to lie and say I'll be watching now. I'd have no interest in them at all next week. But I wouldn't say it's refreshing when you've won the game to think, oh, you know, they were decent. But in the moment, it was not refreshing at all. They were just thinking, sit back, Tony, what are you doing? You're supposed to be one of us. Like, tell them to fail the players or something. They were a decent team, and I don't know if they were playing. Did they go man for man in the middle of the pack? But they just that Silla is actually a pretty decent player, and the McGowan and is it Tiffany as well. They're not McGowan. I can't remember what his name is. They're decent enough players. They can get on the ball, and they just seemed like they broke a pace. They kind of sat deep, didn't they? And then they turned off the ball and they were away. And I don't know how many times I said in that game, no, no, please, no, no.
There was a few, I don't want to go too into it, and, you know, but there was a few occasions, Pierce, where Taylor really annoyed me. There was one stage I can remember that there was a defensive lane where Cameron Carter-Vickers, Scales and AJ were in lane, obviously playing the offside, and Taylor was at least 2 yards off. and we were lucky we didn't concede from that opportunity. It's just nerves as well. It has to be, when you're on the pitch and there's so much at stake, there has to be nerves at play. But I mean, you'd expect that, like, a Taylor who's been there, like, and tasted it, you know, to be, you know, just a wee bit more sort of street smart, you know, and see games out and stuff. I just think that our game management at times today, especially in the last couple of minutes, was really, really poor. I mean, there was 3 minutes to go on the clock and Lewis Palmer's trying to fucking tap bins. I think there was another situation where it was like 2 minutes to go and Adamita, you think he's running to the corner and he plays the ball into the 6 yard box. No one there and they break. It's wee simple things like that for me where it's like, you know, I think we're sort of hitting panic stations as opposed to just, you know, being calm, composed. Saying, I remember squealing at one point the TV, but Palma was like, fucking see that ball in the corner, try and win a foul. Don't be trying to go for fucking 25 yards spectacular goals with 3 minutes to go on the clock, you fuck.
No, that was unforgivable. I couldn't believe what he was doing with that shot. And he also nearly did the exact same that he did last week for the Aberdeen goal when he tried to hook a ball in the middle of the park and they turned them over, because at one point O'Reilly, I don't know who else, were like in on, like, they pushed everyone up and all he did was like just hook it around them, and he infuriated the life out of me. I think Palmer just wants to come on and score a wonder goal that he can put on his YouTube or his Instagram. That's it. That was quite telling that Yang is now out of the picture again. We just can't get a steady run of a team at all, can't we? Not like just it's bad maybe the back five, but the wings, it's just from week to week, it's like who was rubbish last week is basically how you decide who's playing the following week.
It sort of amplifies how important Maida is for us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, like, whatever the Japanese give him, I'm absolutely here for it. My back cut off me right now after doing a few fucking gym sessions on Thursday. And it's like, fucking get a one-way flight to Japan. Yeah, but listen, I think when Maida's back for Hearts next week, that's the whole talk. So, he for me, he's straight in there. It's one of the ones where do you drop James Forrest that they're scoring in 2 goals a day, or do you go with the obvious and Maida? It's definitely great to have him back. And I think that they are sort of the games where Maida thrives, because he puts that work rate in, he does the tracking back, he helps out the likes of Greg Taylor. For me, mate, that just amplifies how important of a player he is, and it's just a massive boost to have him back next week. Again, it was just one of those games, wasn't it, where it was like, you hit the set, but you don't really care about performance. I'm not going to go away from that game and go, I'm raising about the performance. Ultimately, it was about 3 points, and we got the 3 points. With that being said, I think that you do need to raise the bar of performance against teams like Hearts at home. We can't take that for granted. They've already beat us at home this season, so the performance needs to improve. There was a few opportunities that they had, and if you have like a Lawrence Shanklin on the end yet, you know, it's going to be a lot more dangerous.
No, definitely needs to be a drastic improvement next week. But no, even I've been saying it during the week. Everything about that was annoying me today. The kickoff time was doing my head, and I don't know how people follow a team that plays in England that plays at 4 o'clock on a Sunday, because my autism does not like work with Celtic playing the Sunday afternoon. And my mind listening to Ian Crocker, how many times in that first half did he say Celtic haven't lost at Dundee since X, or every time James Forrest scored, Celtic wins, and it was like Tony Doherty's gotten a point off every team bar Celtic, and it's like he's just setting this up for a stupid like, but not today as Dundee got the points. And you're just like, please, just shut up, like, just shut up, man, please stop.
They're just begging for it, aren't they? Like, they're just absolutely begging for it. I've seen a stat as well that this season, that is the most shots on target that Celtic have conceded. Dundee have, I think, with, was it 6 shots on target? Somewhere in that region?
It was something like that, but having said that, they had a couple in the first half that were just like tricklers that gone to Joe Hart.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking Clement-esque Paul Natterley. You're fucking Paul Natterley. You had at the end of your post-match interview, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a certain element of pressure as well, you know, with them playing first and getting the getting the win. It does amplify that pressure. So, I mean, like I say, mate, ultimately it's all about the points. It's every game now. It's just like, it's crucial, isn't it? Like, it's just like, get the fucking job done. I don't care how we do it, but honestly, mate, I don't think my heart will take us till the end of the season. It's absolutely mental. And Carla pulled off that one today where it was like, I said something, whatever it was I said, and she was like, was that fucking right? Well, I'll tell you what, Celtic are dropping points today. And I was like, pardon? So my dad saying about touching wood, he's sitting with Leigh score. I was like, Jesus Christ, get the better blackers out the fuck here, my heart's gonna explode.
No, I've been in a foul mood all week. I'm so apologetic, I said she can't listen to this, but just you just become so ratty, don't you, by about Wednesday or Thursday in your mind. You're just like, I've got bigger things to be dealing with than the irrelevant life situations that you're trying to worry about. There's more important things happening in my life right now, and it's focusing a football top.
It's ridiculous, man. It's like you're getting into your working week this week, and you're just thinking, I really give a fuck about this week, Hearts. forget appointments, forget family appointments, forget work, forget like fucking fun. It's just like, Hearts on Saturday. I mean, what way are we going to set up? Is he going to start James Forrest? Is he going to get my head back in right away? Honestly, though, it's just fucking. Oh, this club does bad things to you as well, like, doesn't it?
Oh, no. Like, and the mad thing is, you know, God willing, it could be all over in 2 weeks if we win the next two games. And I do not want, whenever this league's done, I don't want to hear about Celtic till at least about July. Just need a break from it because it's just unbearable. The stress it's gone through. I don't want to hear anyone coming out with the rubbish that, you know, competition is good or it's great to be in a title fight. It's absolutely not at all. I want romping leagues by 25 points again.
Oh, I don't, like, no one enjoys this. Don't get me wrong, obviously the neutral does, but I mean, it's just not enjoyable. It's just, I mean, you're going to play Dundee at Dens Park and you're literally sweating. I mean, like, literally shaking that. I don't know who quote tweeted it this week, but that dog shaking the car is literally everything. Everything. Everyone is. And Dundee, you get a corner with 10 minutes to go and you're sitting rattling like the fucking Churchill dog when your fucking car windscreen is ridiculous. Honestly, mate, it's just. Oh, it's just been one of those seasons. It's like, you know, performances have been great. There's been lots of injuries. You know, you haven't really got players there who can change games in a split second like we've had the last couple of years. And like I say, even today with like Matt O'Reilly, man, I think these players, like, I mean, Kuhn as well, there was a few occasions, and I think you said to me that it was him that lapped out of that challenge in the last 30 seconds of the game. There was a 50-50 in midfield and he pulled out and they go on and get a ball into the box. I mean, fuck. I mean, like I say, there's certain things that are happening in certain positions that would drastically need to improve on. Today as well is another example for me anyway that we need to improve in left back. Alistair Johnson was a wee bit as good as he's been, as good as he has been the last couple of weeks. Today he was a wee bit iffy. Again, you can just say Cameron Carter-Vickers and Joe Hart. I thought Joe Hart had a good game today as well, Pierce.
Yeah, he kind of dealt with anything that came his way. There was nothing he could do about the goal. Some of his time wasting was exquisite. But just like the nonsense of he gets a yellow card. I don't know how many times I've sat at Celtic Park this season when teams have been time wasting from the first minute of the game. But yeah, Joe Hart gets a yellow card today. What was the one at the end? Was it Ida gave away a free kick? They got, maybe like the 93rd minute, they got a free kick to pop into the box and they ended up hitting it straight out for the corner. But I couldn't watch. I had to leave the room. I was just thinking, nah, they've done it. I couldn't look at the phone because I knew if I like looked at the phone, there'd be a text and it would say something like, arseholes. And I was just like, I'm not going to, like, don't do this to me.
I wouldn't be saying arseholes. I'd be saying something fucking different, I'll tell you that. Do you know what really annoyed me? And it's just a minor incident in the game. Can you remember in the first half where Kuhn was going to chase down after the ball and their left back
shoved them?
Just absolutely rinsed them and they give a goal kick?
Yeah, Sutton's like, no.
Or a throw-in? What? Like, I mean, see that's an example, right, of like incompetency of refereeing for me, because what that does, they were very physical, Dundee thought that they, and listen, that's the way these teams are, right? Physical. That there sort of that allows harder, firmer challenges to go in. Do you know what I mean? Like, players look at that and go, fuck, here, we're getting away with it, right? Let's fucking stick a boot in. The likes of Beaton just has zero control over these games. Like, maybe a wee bit of a drastic statement to make, but I mean, like, it's such a small, minor incident, but it really fucking pissed me off with it. I don't know why.
No, I know, because Sutton was like, there's nothing in that. And then, at first glance, I was like, you're not allowed, this rubbish that you're allowed to just completely obstruct someone to not let them get the ball. You're not allowed to do that. Like, and then you saw the replay, it was even worse because he just used his hands to just like get off the pitch, just have it like, it was between that and what else infuriated the life out of me today. I'll tell you what did my head in. The other one, the second half, when it broke to Iwata on the edge of the box and he nearly shot, and then he decided to pass Dallas to Johnson and just passed straight out for the throw in. It was like, what are these guys up to here?
As I was saying, Amy, there's just certain things that are happening in certain positions. It's mystifying at times. It's like, you know, I think Hattie. I think if you look at Hattie in the first half, he sort of just controlled midfield, didn't he? Him and obviously McGregor weren't the same because McGregor was off it. But in terms of Hearts next week, Pierce, we do need to improve on that performance, man. We really, really do. Like,
you can't do that. No, I mean, like, we've lost two games since December and they've both been to them. It needs to be massive improvement next week. Now, they're pretty much guaranteed third place, but you'll find they won't be on holiday mode next week. They'll be right in on top of us from the force whistle.
Oh, listen, they will be absolutely up for it. They will be up for it like they always are. They'll give it 120%. You can rest assured in that wee fucking rat Naismith. There's no doubt he'll have them fired up, but that's gonna be a fucking another huge game. It's like I say, mate, I was looking at their match, and I'm not gonna lie to you, I watched every single second of their game today, and again, performance wise, you know, you're just not getting it, but I mean, they got the win as well. Via fucking Jack Butland. I mean, what is it with them and goalkeepers, man? Like, I have no qualms in saying this, and I don't give a fuck. You know, I'm not one of these fans who's like, oh, you can't say he's a good player because he fucking plays for them. He is absolutely outrageous. And the sooner he goes, the fucking better. There's talk that he's going to Newcastle to be a second choice goalkeeper for them. And I'm telling you, I would rave the boy myself.
Oh, I'd put a bid in for him.
Imagine it. Absolutely imagine. Isn't he in that video with Joe Hart and Joe Hart singing the Colin McGregor song? They're in Ibiza or something?
Yeah, he is, yeah. They got him for free. Why were we not on top of that? That's what I don't understand. It's a big one for us now in the summer to go out and get a goalkeeper, along with a left back, a centre half, maybe a right back, a midfielder, at least a winger and a striker. There's massive overhauls needed for us in the summer, regardless of what happens with the league. You cannot go back with a team like that next year. I mean, Forrest will probably be starting for us next season, the way things are going.
Yeah, listen. Again, how many times have we spoke about this year that the transfer window was abysmal? Yeah. I mean, and I've said it, Pierce, I've said it all week, you know, speaking with the ones in the gym and speaking with the mates and stuff. If we pull this off this season, it's going to go down as one of the best title wins in probably the last 10 years for me.
It's awful, though. Like, it's still rubbish.
It is. It's sort of like, I don't mean to be coming across defeatist here. I don't mean to be coming across. And it's just like, that's a really poor shot, like say, in terms of standards, in terms of what we've been used to the last number of years, against... You would say that they're probably thinking they're the best Rangers in a number of years. So in terms of how close it is, I think that if Rodgers pulls this off under the circumstances of that transfer window, you know, going into the season, mate, at the very start of the season, can you remember the fucking conversation we were having? Like, you're talking about this 25-minute war chest and
SD23, remember him? He was
absolutely loved him. Absolutely loved the boy. He's fucking fucked off into the abyss. But yeah, so I mean, in terms of, we've spoken about it, the quality of Rodgers, you know, he brings a real calmness, doesn't he? You know, there's been many, many fucking comments made again by that bald Belgian who is definitely cracked this week. I mean, he just constantly mentions Celtic. He's brought Virgil van Dijk into the conversations. He's talked about the guy. Oh, he made some comment about, like, I think Dujon Sterling made some remark. I don't know what it was about. I think it was about the standards of after they were beat last week. And he made some comment about, like, Virgil van Dijk wouldn't do that in his post-match interview. And he's made other remarks about how many goals he scored against Celtic. And he, for me, he has totally fucking, like, there's a thing about that football club where it does really strange things, the managers.
Yeah, I know. I think he's, I don't know, it could all turn out well for him if he ends up winning the league. If we've got four games left and three at home and we're 3 points clear. If we don't win this league, that's an absolute catastrophe of a season, regardless of anything that's gone on beforehand. Like, if someone said to you at half time when we were 1-0 down against Motherwell in February, you'd be 3 points clear with four games to go, three at home. Like, you can't throw a league away from there, regardless of anything. But yeah, some of the rubbish he comes out with, but you just have to hope he just keeps saying whatever he wants, and then Brendan can keep making jokes about telling the kit man that he should know his place.
He's just everything, isn't he? Like, he's just absolutely, you can in the lead up to him talking about that, you can actually see it entering his mind.
Yeah.
He gives like a little smirk and he's like, know what I mean? He's just so full of shit and I'm here for it.
He's one of the worst people probably of all time. Like, yeah.
Oh, man, he absolutely rinsed that kit, man. And I was cheering it. I was like, he's rigged. Fucking back in your box, you fuck. He's like, he's a good Celtic man. You start feeling sorry for him.
But it's spot on with that, though. The guy was the head of security, ended up being the kit man. What's he doing telling Bernardo about what to do in the penalty shootout? Like, go away.
Absolutely. It's just like anyone's. Remember, he says he's made fucking comments. People have accused him of being fucking a misogynist, and it's just like they're looking for anything. Like, but in terms of where we are, like you say, four games to go, three at home, still to play them. You take us every day of the week, wouldn't you?
You just have to. Like, there's just no room forever now, and you just look. They're probably gonna look. They'll definitely be commanding to follow them on the Sunday. But all we can do is get a win next Saturday and hopefully put in a performance as well at home, like 3 o'clock on a Saturday. You just, like, we apparently come alive at this time, but we looked in a coma at times this afternoon.
Listen, again, I'm just alluding back to the fact that we got the 3 points and we got the job done. I can't think. I can't do it. It's like, as much as you want to see Celtic bossing fucking teams and bossing performances and scoring 6 and 7 goals, at this stage of the season, and how close this is, just about getting them 3 points and moving on to the next. And like you say, you're going to be faced with a hard team. You're going to be fucking bang off for it. So, today was huge for me. I was looking at the fixtures and thinking, Dundee away is tricky. You know, people were saying the pitch looked alright today, but you could tell the pitch was fucking bumpy. And
yeah,
it's not an ideal fucking pitch to play good football. There is one thing that I wanted to ask you about, the, you know, in terms of starting teams against the likes of Dundee on that pitch. Do you think that's a game where you start Adamita and keep Kyogo on the bench and bring Kyogo on with like 15, 20 minutes to go when the defence is a bit more tired?
Yeah, 100%. In fact, I would, next week, I don't know if you want to talk about the team, but I would go, Hart's got to play, obviously, and go, he's probably got to play Scale. So just imagine it's the same back four. I would play the midfield that finished the game with Awata, O'Reilly, and Hatate. I'd start with Adamida next week up front, and I'd play Kuhn probably on the wing, and It's a toss for coin, isn't it, between Maeda? He's gonna appear at some point. It's the play him for 60 and take off, or do you bring him on with 30 to go?
I think he'd sub him. I think he'd bring him on. I think he's gonna go with James Forrest again, and I can't see him taking McGregor off from the starting lineup.
And I might have tonight, but that's not.
It's neither here nor there. You can look at it, you could see that McGregor today wasn't up to scratch. But even at that, it's still a massive call to bring off your captain in a big fixture like that, you know. So it was the right decision to do. And I think, like I said earlier on, Tomoki Iwata's influence in the game was instantaneous for me. I think that he just sort of calmed everything down. He was, you know, his pass completion was near on perfect. He was putting in challenges where those weren't really happening. He was basically that stopgap, because they had a lot of freedom in midfield, I thought, today, and they were able to fire that long ball down the throat of Joe Hart. But yeah, like I say, mate, it's just so refreshing as well to have Maeda as an option. You know, Palmer's just been an infuriating player for me the last number of months. It's like, he's one of them players where you're just like, right, okay, you're here fucking 9 months. Like, let's start seeing solid fucking performances. And you could say that, you know, maybe I can't come because he's not starting. But even when you're coming on, it's just like in that situation where you're having that chat, think about, you know, think logically, try and get a throw in, try and get a corner, try and do something that's going to, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, you know, I'm being negative and he's fucking being positive, going for a shot. And it's easy for me to say I'm not the one fucking they're playing, but it's just one of them things, isn't it? You know, even with Kuhn, he started off bright. He had those couple of chances. Look, and then after that, he sort of just disappeared, didn't he?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's just the thing with Palmer. I never really, even from the start with Palmer, I wasn't a massive. It was the stats, his goals were masking. He was getting goals, but really not doing an awful lot in the game. And then once the goals dried up, you realise that he's not really contributing. Anthony's not fast. He hasn't got a left foot. Everything's onto his right foot. You look at that finish from Forrest today. Like, I know that the ball just broke up from on the volley, but no one else probably would have the technical to take that, like, to score that goal that he scored. And even the second one, the composure, the driller down in between the goalkeeper's leg. I don't know if you watched after the game, but Boyd was going, like, well, there might be a handball on that. We'd have another look at that with the handball. And they showed the handball. It's actually a Dundee player, the handball. And then he's like, sick.
He's a fucking dick, isn't he? He's just a dick. He's just an absolute mouthpiece. He can't control himself. Do you know what I want to see more than anything next week? Listen, obviously I want to see a performance. And I want to see 3 points. But in-game management, I think we need to be...
Yeah.
I think we need to be cuter at times. You know, we're making decisions in certain areas that it's just giving other teams an opportunity to go back up the pitch. And I don't want to sound like my dad here, or like being your typical fucking, but I think Celtic as well, like a bit of physicality, don't we? It's just, like, you know, Brown, just even going back to Scott Brown, it just looks like we're being bullied in certain positions, doesn't it? Like, there was one point where I was looking at it and your man Silla, they had a corner, and Greg Taylor was marking him. I'm thinking, who in the right fucking mind has told Greg Taylor to mark him? Now, I think O'Reilly came into the frame, and I think O'Reilly ended up taking him. There's no one there with a real physical presence, is there? I mean, Cameron Carter Vickers, there's no doubt he's strong as fuck. But I mean, he's not the tallest centre half in world football. But it just seems like in certain areas as well, we're just easily shoved off the ball. Or Kuhn looks like, you know, McGregor looked that's another thing that I like to see next year. We like to see a real solid physical player. Like, listen, you want quality, right? But you know what I mean when I say that? You want just a wee bit of physicality in there. The demand of them games, they're always going to be physical games, and you need to have players who are capable. Like,
no, I couldn't agree more. The corners, like those three or four corners they got with the. By the way, I actually didn't think their left. I thought their left back was a decent enough player, and his crosses, the box corners were really good. But yeah, no, it was the exact same, that like the Taylor thing. At the very least, I thought maybe they doubled up and like Taylor's underneath him and they've got someone, but it wasn't. It was just Taylor standing on him on his own. And then the throw-ins into the box, there's no strength. The Carter Vickers, yeah, he's grand. He's fine with a lot of stuff, you know, dealing with things and covering spaces, that kind of thing. But he's only like 5'10", 5'11", and Scales would want to join your May program to bulk up, because he's just so light, isn't he? Gets shoved off the ball. Like, it's infuriating.
Yeah, I think that as well, Brendan Rodgers loves a player like that as well. So I think that'll be his target as well. See as well, and this may sound a wee bit fucking sad to say, but how class is it to see Joe Hart fucking interacting with the fans like that after the game? He absolutely loves it.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, he's just reveling every moment, isn't he?
You can just tell he's absorbing everything, kind of. Like, even the day, he just loved that win. It was absolutely hilarious seeing him getting booked for fucking time wasting. I mean, thinking back to fucking the Huns game where we're winning 3-2 with like 5 minutes to go and he's sprinting to the ball boy for a ball, so... I think today he was like he was winking to people in law as well. So I was here for it. It was funny as fuck seeing him getting that yellow card.
It was funny now at the time, but I was thinking, remember when Crocker said he's adding 30 seconds on? I was like, what could you have done now? Look, like you've ruined it now for everyone here. That was another thing that you noticed today. I know it was obviously the thing in the Huns game with the ball boy. But there was like no ball boys at the game today. Anytime the ball went out of play, there was just no ball to be seen. The amount of times Hart had to run and get the ball behind the goal, but they'd set up well to kind of obviously slow us down, get back into position. But just see what you were talking about, that game management stuff. I'm just going through my head the amount of points we've dropped in like late goals. I know, well, there was the one at Motherwell. I know we got the winner at the O'Reilly one, but they scored in the 92nd minute. Motherwell got a goal at Parkhead late on. Kilmarnock got a goal. Two goals at Ibrox, and there's probably other games that I can't think of that we've like dropped points on from not being able to just see out a game.
Yeah, it's definitely something. And I think with Will Pearce, you know, I'm not being the ultimate artist here when I say this, but I think with Rodgers, he's going to. I mean, surely the goal we can't go in our transfer window where we don't. When you're talking now, you're talking upwards of 60 million, aren't you, for that European money? So you'd like to think that we will, you know, give that injection of quality into that team. It's much, much needed. And you want to know someone as well? It can't be said enough, but you're losing a massive figure in that change room. And Joe Hart, I mean, he's clearly a leader. He's clearly loved by his, you know, his peers. So I think that the players that are coming next year, that, you know, it's all well and good being good, but you need to have... Something for me, anyway, you need someone there who's a real, because that's what Salik under Porter Cogley as well had. They had the span of the team had leadership, didn't they? No, by the way, I'm not ready for fucking giving him any praise. Gravy Guts can fuck it up, honestly. Cheering Arsenal on to the last fucking. Nah, my Joe, I love him.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't talk bad about him. But you know what I mean? Like, we had that Spain, you know, we had that solid Spain, and you look at it now and we go, you're losing Joe Hart. Fuck, it's such a massive thing, isn't it, to replace him?
Yeah, I mean, what did he get 100 caps for England? I don't know, whatever he got, like, but he played like first team football in England and everywhere for 10, 15 years. And that's a massive thing that we need to replace. He can't have too much experience in that team. I sound like one of these cliche guys, you know, like at the end of the day, you know, as the gaffer says, but no, I need to. Yeah, we can't. Like, but then think about like this, that next season, if Kyogo's still about, that'll be his fourth season. You know, you think he'd be a leader, but he doesn't look like a leader. You've got McGregor, O'Reilly probably be away, Carter Vickers, Greg Taylor, I suppose, is maybe a leader in the group, but God willing, he won't be starting for us next season. Still got Forrest. Did you hear what Rodgers called him? One of the godfathers of the group.
I think, didn't Boyd, he alluded to something they got after the game, didn't he? The Godfather or something he called him.
Clown.
Absolute wonder. Yeah, you're talking upwards of, what, 6-7 players coming in next year, surely?
Has to be. Like, just, that's just, yeah, has to be. And they can't all be 21, 22-year-olds. You need to have people in the team who've... Even, like, you know, like Aaron Moy last year, you know, people who've been around the block.
What a player he was, by the way.
Until his back just gave up.
Ah, it just busted, didn't it? It just went on, the poor fucker. Now he's living the life out in Australia. Definitely not tuning in to what's fucking us have, or what's Sally give him a fucking heart attack. Tell you that much. But no, mate, ultimately, like I say, today was all about getting the win, and fuck the pressure after them is getting that fucking win. It was like huge for me, and I was like, please just win. So, I mean, definitely a lot to improve upon, as we've said all season, but mate, like I say, 3 points up the road, and we're on to the dads next week, who are ultimately going to be chasing this like it's a cup final.
Yeah, that's it. Just look, there's no black. You're annoyed after the game, you're like, this is absolutely rubbish. But look, performances were never coming all season, so it's just about points, isn't it? And just four. If we win the next two games 1-0, that's it done, and that's enough for me.
Absolutely, and just as well, just the fact that they're thinking to themselves, they've got Dundee today. That's a potential fuck up.
You know,
seeing that goal when they're going, right, this is it, pass it, they're going to drop points. No, we didn't. No, we'll do what Nick Rogers says. We'll do it this time of the season. Stats will always pull through. Like, the biggest cliche, but no, I think he's bang on with those comments. You know, we've been hugely successful in the last couple of decades, so let's just hope we see it out, mate. Let's just hope we see it out. But next week, mate, we're back. We are going to do a preview of the Hearts game. Is probably a lot of bollocks. Are we actually going to do a preview before the Hearts game, or what's the crack?
I don't know if you can free 35 minutes from your schedule of making money next week to...
Oh, man. There's a couple of things. So next week, obviously, we've got that, you know, our boys have their cup final. So
yeah, big week for you.
Big week for the NBA, big week for the club as a whole, for Clubville. We've got a number of teams in the Occupy 6 County Cup Finals this week, so there's a few parents actually listening to this as well, so shout out to them, boys. Good Celtic as well, so hopefully we're celebrating with them next Monday. And the other thing, mate, is, might sound a wee bit weird to say, but Alan Thompson's comments on Twitter have been a wee bit mental. And the last couple of days, I'm really praying hard that he's okay and he's not going through any shit. I think that, you know, with social media now, and it gives people a platform to go on and say things, especially if there's a couple of drinks involved or if the main's not right. But it's not never nice to see absolute legends like Alan Thompson fucking. Hopefully he's not struggling. Hopefully everything's okay. I think that he's come out today and says that everything's sweet and whatever else. So here's hoping that the big man's all right.
I think it was an evening with you probably sent him over the edge, wasn't it?
That's exactly what it was. It was in his ear, saying about like how fucking how he's been playing 4-2-3-1 instead of 4-3-3, and he's been proper fucking pissed off of me. But no, in a serious note, we do hope that he's 100%. He's an absolute club legend and what a footballer, by the way. But Pierce, as always, mate, it's been some crack. It's been class coming on, just venting and getting all out of our system. It's like fucking as if the players are going to listen to this, but we said every single week, it helps us. It gives us an opportunity to come on, obviously, and talk about Celtic face to face that we never really can do because we're in different countries. So as always, mate, it's been a pleasure.
Right, lovely stuff. I'll probably speak to you in about 25 seconds. So,
I'll give you a text about 20 seconds. Sure.
Right,
chat. All the best, folks. Hope you enjoy. Bye.